You are Locked On Jets, your daily podcast on the New York Jets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to the Locked On Jets podcast. It is the morning after the big event, April 27th, 2018, a Friday, and I am John B. from GangreneNation.com. And something I just realized is this is actually the 400th episode of the Locked On Jets podcast. So it took us 400 shows, but we may have finally gotten a franchise quarterback. And, you know, I don't get that nostalgic about these things because it's 400 is not that big of a deal when you're doing it 5 days a week. It's a big deal if, like, you're doing it once a week. I don't think it's as big of a deal 5 days a week. But this is indeed our 400th episode, and it's a special episode, not just because we're turning 400, but because the Jets have a new franchise quarterback. They have a new quarterback of the future. They have a new face of the franchise. It is Sam Darnold from USC. And joining us today is our good friend Mike Nania, who writes with me at GangreneNation.com. Mike has been with us. He was with us through the regular season. He's made a couple appearances in the off season. And before we get to Mike, I just got to tell you a little story about what happened yesterday. So I'm going about my day, and around 3:45 in the afternoon, I get this email, and it says, "John," it's from somebody I know in the league who's pretty good, and goes, "John, here's what's going to happen. This is what I'm hearing is going to happen. Mayfield to the Browns, number one. Barkley to the Giants, number two. Josh Allen to the Jets, number three." And I'm kind of filled with dread at this point because I'm like, oh, God, Josh Allen. And I'm thinking about what I said yesterday on the podcast. I'm telling everybody, don't freak out no matter what the Jets do. There's always upside, you know, no matter who they pick. And I'm just like, oh, God. So I start searching on Twitter. I'm like, is there anything to this Josh Allen rumor? And I find something from Matt Miller at Bleacher Report about how the Jets coaching staff, they have coaches who are pushing for Josh Allen. And, you know, normally that's the type of thing I just ignore because there are all kinds of rumors on draft day. But after I hear this thing about how the Jets are looking at Josh Allen, I'm worried. And I post an article on GangreneNation.com, and everybody's saying, oh, you're just trying to freak everybody out. Well, no, because somebody actually told me the Jets were picking Josh Allen. So we get to the draft, and number one overall, Baker Mayfield goes to Cleveland, and I'm a little uneasy, but I'm like, well, I didn't really want Mayfield anyway, so I guess I'm okay with that. Then Barkley goes to the Giants, number two, and I'm like, my stomach's in knots, I'm sweating, I'm like, oh my God, this is going to happen. They're going to pick Josh Allen, Darnold and Rosen on the board. And then, to my pleasant surprise, Sam Darnold's the pick, and it wasn't even Josh. You know, if it's Josh Rosen, then the first words out of Roger Goodell's mouth are going to be Josh. So I'm still going to think it's Josh Allen. Fortunately, that was taken off the table. The Jets pick Sam Darnold. And as I said, Michael Nania is with us. So, Michael, welcome to the show. What do you think?
Thanks for having me. And I'm just so pumped that we finally got a guy we could rally around, someone we could believe in. I'm happy it's not Josh Allen. So Sam Darnold's our guy. I'm ready to rationalize all of his mistakes and believe in why he can fix them. And just, I'm just excited. We got our guy.
Yeah. And I'll say this. I said this on yesterday's show, is of the four quarterbacks, if you tell me I can only have one, I'd probably picking Sam Darnold. To me, and I'm not sure whether you're on the same page, I don't think he's the guy with the most upside. I think that is Allen. I don't think he's the guy who's the most pro ready. I think that's Rosen, but I think the combination, he's the guy who's the best combination of both pro ready and upside, because I understand he's turned the ball over a lot in college. I think that's fixable. I think a lot of that will come with, I think the interceptions probably be reduced with experience. That tends to be the way it goes, I think. And I'll say it, not always with college players, but the types of mistakes he made, I think, tend to go away with experience. And the fumbles don't really worry me, because fumbling tends to be a pretty simple mechanical fix. At the same time, even though I don't think he's as pro-ready as, say, Josh Rosen, I think he's plenty pro-ready. I think, you know, he's a guy who I'm very impressed with some of the sophisticated concepts he has mastered at such a young age. So, you know, what are your views on Darnold? I know you're not upset. I know you're pretty happy. I know you're not quite as high as I was on Darnold, though.
I think definitely in that position, I was kind of hoping for Rosen. I love Rosen's, just his pocket presence, and the way he did more with less at UCLA than than Darnold kind of did. So I think Rosen's my preference, but I like the way you put it with Darnold, the best combination of pro readiness and upside, because of his youth and some of the wow plays that he makes, just the ways he could put the ball in really impressive spots from any platform. He does have a lot of upside, even if he doesn't match Josh Allen physically, but I think upside-wise, you got to put him at least number two behind Allen, and he does have an argument for number one in terms of upside. But like you said, pro readiness too, he does have that. There was a lot of advanced stuff he was doing at USC as a young guy who hasn't played quarterback as long as some of these other prospects. And because Darnold is a guy who was playing linebacker in his high school career. So I still think that Rosen's my preference, but at the end of the day, they're just so close that you can't really consider it a loss right now. You just have to see how it plays out.
Yeah, that was kind of the opposite, where Darnold was my preference, but there was a slight preference. I think I said this yesterday, that if they get Darnold or Rosen, I'm doing backflips. You would not have heard a word of complaint from me if they take Rosen. Now, I lied a little bit. I don't think I'm capable of doing backflips. I didn't even try because I don't want to injure myself on such a joyous day. But I want to address something, and I don't want to go crazy on this. And I think, Michael, you're going to agree with me on this. Here's one of my pet peeves that's coming out of this pick is people are saying, oh, a USC quarterback and, you know, shades of Mark Sanchez.
Right, absolutely. I can't stand that.
Come on. Give me a break on this. First of all, these are two different prospects. The school, the fact they went to the same school is irrelevant. But second, even if I'm going to buy into this idea that, you know, there's a problem with USC prospects, well, the problem, if there was one, that was a decade ago, and the problem was that Pete Carroll built a dynasty at USC. He had NFL talent up and down the roster. So with a guy like Sanchez, the issue was that you weren't sure whether he was being, how the extent to which he was being carried by his teammates, and they have good wide receivers, good offensive line, stuff like that. This USC team was not that good around Darnold. They had the back Jones, who I like, who I think is a good pro prospect, but that offensive line was brutal for stretches of that season. And, you know, you go back to when Darnold first took the starting job, he started 2016 as the backup. That team was circling the drain. I mean, that team looked like they were in catastrophe. The coach was getting fired. I mean, that program was in upheaval, and he steps in and takes them to the Rose Bowl. And that's a direct one-to-one comparison, because he wasn't starting early in the season when they were struggling. He steps in, suddenly they're a juggernaut.
Yeah, definitely with the USC comparisons, just there's just no correlation at all with that. I mean, play for the same school, same uniform, same name, that's about it. You're talking about an entire different roster, different coaching staff. Like you mentioned, Sanchez had a lot more talent around him and a more established coaching staff with Pete Carroll at the top. And Sam Darnold didn't really have that.
Attention cancer patients. If you or a loved one lived, worked, or visited Lower Manhattan in the months after the 9/11 attacks and have been diagnosed with cancer, federal benefits and health care may be available. Attorney Eddie Markowitz has helped many families recover substantial benefits from the September 11th Victims Compensation Fund. The James Zadroga Health and Compensation Act has been extended, but time is limited. Attorney Markowitz is proud to serve as counsel to the Zadroga family. Let him help you too. These benefits are not just for rescue workers, but to anyone who qualifies. The fund covers many cancers, including prostate, skin, lung, and breast. Please call 1-800-LAW-HELP. That's 1-800-LAW-HELP to see if you qualify. We are here on a post-draft special with Michael Nania of GangreneNation.com, our good friend. And I think the selection of Darnold for the Jets raises the question of how this is going to work. You know, is he going to be a day one starter? And, you know, I'm up in the air on that. I think Rosen was the most pro-ready. I think Rosen was the guy I was ready to declare, this guy's a day one starter. I think Sam Darnold, Baker Mayfield, I think it could go either way here. I think either of those guys, I wouldn't be shocked if they were showed you enough in preseason to be able to start week one, but I also think the Jets needed to be prepared to not, in case it doesn't work. Are you with me on that? What are the odds you think Darnold starts week one?
I think definitely with this Jets team, they invested a fairly good amount in Josh McCown. They brought Teddy Bridgewater, and I think they're completely ready to let Darnold sit out to start, or whoever they would end up drafting to sit out to start the year. But I think at the same time, you're looking at Josh McCown, and as respected as he is in terms of winning, because you got to look at it from Todd Bowles' perspective. He has to win some games, even though this is a rebuilding stage. He has to win, and he is as respected as Josh McCown is. He's just not a winner, and Teddy Bridgewater's injury question. So I think Darnold, that it's all up to Darnold. I think they'll absolutely give him the chance to win the job, but I think they're not going to force him in either, and they're ready to roll with McCown for a few games. But I think he'll absolutely get at least half the season. But to start the year, I think it's all up to him.
Let me ask you this. Over, under, snap, regular season snaps Teddy Bridgewater takes with the Jets. One.
Oh, wow. That's a tough one. That is so tough. But I'm just going to, I have to go under. Because this team, they put, like I said, $10 million into McCown. They love the guy. Now they just invested in Sam Darnold. So, in the injury questions with Bridgewater, I'd have to go under.
I think you're right. I think that this pretty much finishes Bridgewater off. And, you know, maybe I'm wrong on this, but I think Bridgewater, I almost view him, especially when you look at the money they gave McCown, I think they may have just signed Bridgewater because at that point they had not traded up. I think they just wanted a guy with upside in case they couldn't draft anybody. And now I wonder, you know, do they try? And look, Sam Bradford trade's not going to happen. They're not getting a first-round pick for Bridgewater coming off the injury. Bridgewater's got to prove himself. But I think, you know, do you think they may even look to deal Bridgewater before the end of the preseason?
Yeah, at this point, I mean, Bridgewater's kind of the odd man out. I mean, it's highly doubtful he beats out McCown start season, just because, like we said, the respect they have for him, his experience in the system. So, and then with Darnold, you'd think that they want to have him in a position to take over for McCown if he doesn't start the year. So I think they might try to get him some exposure in preseason, show that he's healthy, maybe deal him for a low-round pick. But like you said, this isn't a Sam Bradford kind of situation where they could net a first-rounder or a premium pick. But I think the Darnold pick, since the Jets traded up and we knew they'd get a quarterback, kind of leaves him as an odd man out.
And, you know, I was just happy today came because I don't know why this bothered me so much, but I'm so happy that the pick finally came so we could end this ridiculous idea that the Jets were going to trade back down. And I was like, well, if the Jets were going to trade down, why would they have traded up to three to begin with? And so anyway, that's just my pet peeve. I don't know why that bothered me so much, but I'm kind of just glad the Jets, maybe it's just because I was like, why would the Jets do that? You know, the Jets need a quarterback. Why would you think the Jets aren't going to take a quarterback?
I mean, I feel the same. I mean, just debating the pros and cons of every single guy. Could they trade up to two? Could they trade down? Like you said, just the Jets have Sam Darnold. He's their franchise quarterback. Let's focus on what he needs to improve, focus on what he does well, and let's just move on. We got our guy now.
How nervous were you today as the Jets were picking? Because I was pretty good at the start of the day. And then after I got that email about Josh Allen, like I felt the rest of the day like, I mean, almost like a playoff game. And you have to go back a long time to remember a Jets playoff game. But from that point on, I was pretty nervous because, I mean, the next decade of the franchise could have been at stake today.
I mean, this is as probably since the Week 17 game in Buffalo as nervous, as into it I've been for something Jets-related. I mean, most of the rumors I've kind of brushed off throughout the process because we've seen literally everything leading up to this draft, but once the Josh Allen stuff started to come out in full heat earlier today, that was making me really nervous. And when he was still on the clock with the Jets, when he was still on the board with the Jets on the clock at three, my heart was pounding. It was really intense for me.
Yeah, I did not share that Josh Allen rumor with anybody because I did not want to upset anybody because I knew pretty much everybody I knew was going to be upset over that. So I'm just like, I'm not going to ruin anybody else's day. I'm not going to throw that out there until their day has to be ruined if the Jets make this pick. So obviously the Jets were not the only team that operated on Thursday night in the first round. Give me a team where you liked what they did and a team where you didn't like what they did.
I think one team that comes to mind first as what I didn't like what they did is the team right in front of the Jets, the team that shares stadium with them, that'd be the Giants. I don't agree with what they did at all. And don't get me wrong, Saquon Barkley, he's the best running back prospect in this draft and the only one to go in the first round as of right now. So, and he definitely deserves that, but we've seen it year after year in recent years. Running back is just a dime a dozen position. There have been great prospects to come out in the middle of the first round. You look at just last year, Kareem Hunt, Alvin Kamara, two guys who were, I mean, pretty much dominant that the Chiefs and Saints picked up in the mid rounds. It's the kind of position you don't need to spend premium on to get great talent. And like I said, Barkley, he's got some really special physical tools. He could be the best back in the league. He could be. But look at the Giants team that won three games last year. Lots of locker room problems. They could have traded down, netted a ton of picks. I mean, maybe that wasn't an option. We perceive it as a possible one, but maybe it wasn't there. But I think even as an alternative to Barkley, I think the Mayfield going number one, Darnold was there for them. You don't know how much Eli is left in the tank. And even the past few years, like he's been at best above average. So I think a trade down or a quarterback pick are two ways I definitely would have gone instead of Barkley if I were the Giants.
Yeah, I'm totally with you on that. I've been saying this for weeks. I've said this on this show. I think the Giants are crazy to not take a quarterback right there. I mean, when are you going to be in this spot again? Let me give you a couple. I'm not a fan of what Cleveland did. And I've said my thing on Mayfield. A lot of people disagree. And we could go back and forth on Mayfield. Denzel Ward at number four. That just seems too high for me.
Yeah, definitely. I think Mayfield number one completely shocked me off the top. I know the rumors heated up the last couple of days, but I wasn't buying it at all. So, I mean, I do like Mayfield. I consider myself a Mayfield fan, but number one, kind of risky. I thought it was going to be Darnold. And Denzel Ward was a shock to me, too. I think Bradley Chubb would have been a better selection, maybe even Nelson, but on the offensive line. Ward was kind of a surprise for me. And I think the ESPN guys kind of talked about it, that is more of a need pick than best player available. But
I'll tell you,
Cleveland
go ahead.
I was a little skeptical of what they did.
Yeah, I'll tell you, team, I love what they did. And I think that this is the rare trade that really works out for both teams is the Colts. And, you know, they made the trade with the Jets. I think both teams got what they needed there. You know, the Jets got their quarterback. I felt like from the outset that Quentin Nelson and the Colts was one of the most logical player team fits that was out there. And the Colts traded down. They still were able to get their guy. They were able to add a couple extra picks to add depth so they can build around Andrew Luck. I love that pick for them. I love the trade. I love the pick. I think that there are not many trades where you can say this really makes sense for both teams, but I really think this trade the Jets and Colts made a couple ago makes sense for both teams.
Yeah, absolutely. It makes a ton of sense for the Colts to net all those picks and then at number six get a guy who a lot of people thought was the best prospect in the entire draft and fills a huge need for them protecting their franchise quarterback. That's definitely a huge net for the Colts.
Now I'm going to give you a bonus, one I like and one I didn't like. And the one I didn't like is actually, it has nothing to do with who they drafted. It's just the trade value that this team, I just can't understand. They made two trades, and I don't understand either trade. Is the Raiders trading down from, I think, 10 to 15. They don't get a pick in the first two rounds. I mean, how does that happen? The Jets give up 3 second-round picks. And I understand these are different picks. The Jets traded in the top five, and you know the Saints trade up, and they give up a 2019 first round. They give up two first rounders to trade up. Raiders don't get a pick in the top two rounds to when they trade down. And then they trade a third round pick for Martavis Bryant. Are you kidding me? A third round pick for Martavis Bryant? I mean, I'll tell you, and I'll say this is. Of all the big fish hires in the offseason, John Gruden was the one I was most skeptical of because, first of all, he'd been out of the league for a decade. And I know he's still keyed in. I know he does his quarterback camp. You know, he did his Gruden's quarterback camp. And I know Monday Night Football, he's still around the league. But he hadn't coached in a decade. And if you look at the end of his era, the end of his tenure in Tampa Bay was not good. And I mean, I just don't understand the value. It doesn't even have anything to do with who they picked. It was just what I totally disagree with their trade valuations in this first round.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we could question John Gruden's question. I mean, it would be interesting to see how Raiders fans think of all this. But like you said, moving down, and I thought that immediately. They netted third rounder and a fifth rounder to move down five spots. I don't know if that's great value. I mean, maybe they're still happy with who they got, but it just doesn't look like a great value. And the team on the other side of that trade, I think that's maybe my favorite non-Jets move of the first round. The Cardinals getting Josh Rosen at number 10 and giving up only, like we said, just a third and a fifth to move up five spots and get him, and to leap over the Dolphins, which is great for us from a Jets perspective. I think Rosen at 10 is probably the best quarterback value in the first round.
Yeah, I was telling Mike before we started recording that I have this good friend of mine who is a LA Rams fan, biggest Rams fan I know, and he's like dying a thousand deaths that the Cardinals are trading up for Rosen. So, and he was rooting for the opposite. He wanted Rosen either to go to Buffalo or go to Miami because he didn't want to deal with Rosen in his division. So I think I have, maybe have some fences to mend with him.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's a good fit over there because Sam Bradford's over there, and you know, it's kind of competition where he has a chance to get in right away, but he doesn't have to be forced in. But with Bradford's injury history, he's not going to be in danger of being completely held out. So I think at number 10, that's a really good value for Arizona.
Yeah, and I mean, I see some other picks I like. I like you. I'm a big fan of Rosen at 10. I'll give you one that I really like it's happened later in the first round. At 26, the Atlanta Falcons get Calvin Ridley, who I really like. And, you know, I like him in that offense. I think that that's a great value at 26 for Atlanta.
I'm just seeing, so Rashad Penny just went to the Seahawks at number 27. I think that's a huge surprise. I have not seen any, and that makes him the second running back off the board, too. That's a big surprise to me.
Yeah, I mean, we saw some. There was one mock a couple days ago where I think it was ESPN. It may have been Kiper McShay, where they had him going to the Jets in the third round. So yeah, that's Seattle does their own thing. Seattle, they really march the beat of their own drummer. I mean, they made some picks that really have gone through the years. They made some picks that have gone against consensus. I remember the year they picked Bruce Irvin in the first round when a lot of people had Irvin in the third round. So that's just the way Seattle operates, I think.
And it's definitely worked for them to some extent. And I do like Penny. I mean, and he's on Gangrene Nation. He's been one of the most popular prospects throughout the whole process. Just he does have return game versatility, and his efficiency is great. But first round, I won't say it's a reach because I do like the guy. But that's definitely one of the big shockers for me.
All right. Well, Michael, any other thoughts you have today?
I'm just ready to see Darnold get to work. I'm ready for this era of quarterback purgatory to end, and I'm going to wait for him to pick his number. I'm going to get a jersey, and I'm ready for this season.
Yeah, I think this might be the day. This might be, you know, yesterday, Thursday, that might be the day we remember as the day this thing started to turn around. Maybe it's the day things started to turn around for Mike Maccagnan, who I think, you know, at this point, and look, you never know how these things are going to pan out. Maybe it doesn't work out, but maybe this is where he starts to turn it around. And I got to give the guy a lot of credit. He rolled the dice on the trade, and I think it came out very well for him. And, you know, listen, I've had my criticisms, and I think, you know, there are some instances where he's deserved to be criticized, but I'm going to give him credit where he does well. And I think he did very well to get Sam Darnold.
Yeah. And I do think one more thing I'd want to address is there's kind of a perspective that in hindsight, they could have stayed at six, kept their second rounders, picked Rosen. But I think that's just not a thing you could say at this point, because you just have to go up and get your guy. You don't know how things are going to play out. And also, you look at the domino effect it had on other teams, especially teams in the AFC East who couldn't get their hands on Darnold and had to shuffle their plans to make things work, like the Bills with Josh Allen. It was just a move they had to make, and they got the guy who was QB1 for most of the offseason and in many of the team's eyes by most reports. So it was a dice roll, like you said, by Maccagnan. They got their guy, and let's go.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I mean, look, yeah, could they have sat at six and gotten Rosen? Who knows? Maybe. But you know something? That's a small price to pay to make sure you get a franchise quarterback. I look, at some point, you got to stop counting nickels and dimes and just appreciate the value that you got. And that's I'm fine with that.
You're right. They got their franchise guy. I think you're really nitpicking. Let's just see what Darnold does. And if he pans out the way that a lot of people think he can, then no price is too high for that.
Yeah, Darnold's a franchise quarterback. 10 years from now, there is not a single person who's going to say, oh, we gave up a couple second-round picks. You're going to be very happy. You're going to be very happy. Nobody will ever remember. So anyway, thanks for joining us today, Mike.
Thanks a lot.
And thank you for listening. This has been the Locked On Jets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. If you enjoy the show, subscribe. iTunes, Spotify are your two best options. And please leave the show a good review in iTunes if you enjoy it. Hope you have a great weekend. We'll be back on Monday to talk about the final 6 rounds of the draft.